We thank you that as Jesus himself taught us, we are to call you our Father. And we thank you that we can because of how we've been brought into your family. Oh, Father, we know, very, very conscious of how we were once far off from you. We had no connection with you because we had chosen to do our own thing. But we thank you for the blood of Jesus, for what he's done for us and for how you've helped us to come to believe in you and believe in your Son. And we've been brought into your great family. And we thank you that we are very blessed to be in your family. This family will go on forever. We thank you that in this family we are dearly loved by you. And we thank you for the hope that we are going to enjoy, already started, but going to be so full in eternity. I know our brother Colin shared about that this morning. And we just ask that despite all the things that we go through, may we be filled with joy and thankfulness for what you have made us to become. And help us now this morning, we pray that your word would touch us afresh, that you would speak to us and help us in understanding you and appreciating you and being the people we ought to be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's some time ago now, but I remember in May this year, as some of you will know, or many of you will know, we went on a pretty good trip up to the Northern Territory and explored the lovely countryside there. And I was just thinking about how this enabled me, because I went with my mum and dad as well, it enabled me to have a lot of time with my dad. So that was great, hanging out with dad, as well as my wife Colleen and my mum. And so my dad was really good, you know, we're sharing a lot. But I also noticed that as I observed dad, that it was a bit striking for me that many of the characteristics, or some of the characteristics that I have, I see in my dad. So, for example, he just wanted to explore everything. So there we are. He wants to go here. He wants to go there. I remember when we came to the southern part of Kakadu and we came to this fantastic waterfall. And, you know, I just thought that would be enough for Dad to see this spectacular waterfall. But no, he said, Ian, let's go up the side there, the sheer cliff face, and go up to the top of the waterfall, which is what I wanted to do too, and which I did do. And I'm going, Dad, you can't come. You're 85 years old. You've got a heart condition. You've got Parkinson. What are you doing? So anyway, Dad did stay back, but I must admit I saw in my dad very much what I have in myself. There was something else, maybe I shouldn't share this, but this is how it is. We were at what's it called? Carhill Crossing, the river that separates Kakadu from Arnhem Land. And I told Dad about being careful near this river because there are crocs around. So anyway, Dad decides he wants to take the best photo he can. Where is he? He's right on the river's edge, right where the big crocs are. I could not believe it. I go, Dad, come back from there. But then I had some thinking of my own. I go, wow, Dad's a bit of a risk taker. Hang on. So am I. Yes, I do remember taking a photo now on the cliffs of Kalbarri with John holding on to me while I'm leaning over the cliff. I had to get the photo. Oh, no. Yes, I think we do bear characteristics of our parents, especially our dad, in my case. Sometimes we bear many of those characteristics of our dad, maybe not so many. You know, as I think about the bearing of a characteristic, doesn't it show to us that we really do have this person as our dad and that we're part of his family? And this morning, I just thought about exploring this reality in the spiritual realm. I want to first of all think about our Father in heaven. If we have turned to Jesus, if we put our trust in him, if we have repented of our sins and received the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, then not only have we been forgiven of our sins, not only have we the glorious hope of eternal life, but we have been reconciled to God and God has become our Father. Even more than that, he has put his spirit into us. And we are meant to bear the characteristics of our Father. What is our Heavenly Father like? I think of these wonderful couplets. He is faithful and true. He is just and righteous. He is compassionate and gracious. He is good and kind. And we, if we are truly his children, then we are to bear the characteristics of our Father and especially being enabled by His Spirit that He has placed in us. How do you go in that regard? Do you show yourself to be a son or a daughter of our Father in heaven? But then there's something else that I want to consider this morning. I know tonight we'll be looking a lot more about God being our Father. But as we go through the book of Romans, as we have come now to Romans chapter 4, I'm also introduced to how not only do I have a heavenly Father, but I also have another earthly Father who's not my dad. Isn't it interesting? I have a human spiritual father, and what's his name? His name happens to be Abraham. And in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes a big thing about that, that Abraham is our father. If it is characterized in our life what was characterized in Abraham's life. Let's have a look at just a few introductory verses from Romans chapter 4 in regard to this. And as I look at all this, I start to think about that song. You know, remember that song? Father Abraham has many sons. You know that song? We're not going to sing that at the end of the service, but it's a song that reminds us that even if we're not Jewish, if we have faith, if faith characterizes our life, then the Bible tells us that we are now a descendant of Abraham and he is our father or forefather. Have a look at what it says in Romans chapter 4. Read verses 11 and 12. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that if we have this faith that is so powerfully spoken of in the book of Romans, then we have Abraham as our father. Whether we are a biological descendant of Abraham, that is a Jew, or whether we are a non-Jew. That's pretty cool, eh? Abraham is our father. And also it comes across again in verse 16, where it says, "For this reason it is by faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Wow, so Paul's really trying to emphasize this. So this morning I thought it'd be good for us to consider how Abraham is our father and how we are to, if he is truly our father, how we are meant to have in our being characteristics that show us to be connected to Abraham, our father. So let's do that. So obviously, very clearly in Romans 4, what is the thing that characterized Abraham the most? It's got to be his faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Let's consider this. He had faith in the existence of God. He had faith in obeying God. Him being told to go from Ur of Chaldees all the way to Canaan. He had faith in the promises of God, which we will consider very soon. Indeed, because of his faith, Abraham made it into the Hall of Fame of faith. Where's Faith Hall of Fame in the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11. He was well known as a man of faith. A growing faith as well, because he wasn't perfect, but his faith grew and grew and grew. And I thought it'd be good this morning just to look at a bit of Hebrews chapter 11 with you. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, and have a read about faith and also Abraham, who was mentioned very strongly in Hebrews 11. So in Hebrews chapter 11, it begins with these three verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the world was prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In those first three verses, we see that faith is about hoping for things that we cannot see, but that are certain and true. Faith is about believing in this God who created the world. Abraham had that faith. He believed that this world wasn't by accident. There's a great God who spoke creation into existence from nothing. This is the faith Abraham had. Verse 6, it says, when without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I'm sure with all my heart that Abraham knew this verse. Not only did he know the existence of God, but he sought God. And he was blessed of God. That's faith. And then we have specifically these words about Abraham and also Sarah, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Wow. Remember that? That's a fantastic story of Abraham hearing God's command, and he left his country, he left his comfort zone, and went to a strange land. By faith, it says in verse 9, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Well, even in that verse, Abraham had this faith not only in obeying God and coming to the promised land, but of one day being in an eternal city whose builder and architect is God. We call it heaven. In verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. This is just a snippet of the faith that Abraham displayed. And when we turn back to Romans chapter 4, we see this faith that resided in Abraham. Let's read from the sort of halfway through verse 17 of Romans 4 down to verse 21. And it says there, he believed even in God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What do you think of this? What faith? Abraham, the man of faith. And this is the thing that the Apostle Paul wants to bring out in Romans chapter 4. This is Abraham. And the challenge is are we truly a spiritual descendant of this Abraham? Are we in this family? This family who have faith in God. Abraham is our father, our forefather in it. What about us? Do we also believe? It's meant to characterize our life. We're meant to have this strong faith in the existence of God. A God who's created the world spectacularly. The God who is so intricately involved in our world still. We had to have a faith in God as we see in Abraham, such that we do seek God. We pursue him. We know him. And we are to have a faith where we trust in God's promises. That is what's meant to characterize us, just as it characterized Abraham, if he is truly our father. And as I look at these things, it challenges me. Can I really say that Abraham is my father? What type of faith do I have? Do I bear those characteristics that I see in my forefather Abraham? We ought to. And let me go a little bit further on to say that, of course, Abraham lived a long time ago. He lived even before the Lord Jesus came into our world. And for us today, part of the deal in having faith in God means that we have faith in what God has done for us through his son. And that we actually have faith also in this one called Jesus. That's so important. I'm sure that if Abraham lived in our time, he would be absolutely saying, yes, that's it. Faith in God means having faith in what he's done for us in Jesus. and having faith in Jesus himself. In fact, the very last part of Romans chapter 4 switches from Abraham's day to our day. Let's read verses 23 to 25. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. So we are not just to believe in God. Many people do. We are to specifically believe in what God has done for us through Jesus. How God was the one who put his son to death on the cross and raised him to life so that we could be part of the great family of God. I want to just say in particular that verse 25, I've always found a very intriguing and profound verse. I love how side by side I have those two great events of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. In his death, he was delivered over. He was handed over to be the one to bear our punishment. On the cross, he bore our sins. He paid the full penalty so that we could be forgiven. And that's only half of the story. The other half of the story is that he was raised to life. It says here by the resurrection, for his resurrection from the dead, we are justified. That is to say, us being right with God was made complete only when Jesus was raised from the dead. The cross and the resurrection go together. It is these glorious truths that we need to hold to believe in if we are to be right with God. So when I think of these things, I can't help but think of how if I am a true spiritual descendant of Abraham, I am meant to see in myself this faith that resided in Abraham. Abraham is your father. Do you show that characteristic that was in him? Otherwise, you're not part of the family. Do you understand that? Not only that, but there's something else that Abraham had. Because of his faith in God and dominant through Romans chapter 4 is this wonderful thing. Abraham had faith in God, and as it says so clearly in Romans 4, that faith enabled him to be in a right standing with God. He was credited with righteousness. That means he was right with God. He was freed from judgment. He was a man who was now right with God, acceptable to God, and who would spend eternity with God in heaven. And again, if we are truly descendants of Abraham in a spiritual sense, then not only will we have faith in God and faith in our Lord Jesus, but we will also know and experience the glory and the wonder of having righteousness credited to us. That we have right standing with God. That God loves us and takes us as his children. That's what Abraham experienced. And that's what we'll experience too if we are a true descendant of Abraham in a spiritual sense. Now I want you to look at how strongly this thing is mentioned in Romans 4 about how through faith we have right standing with God. We receive righteousness. So if you have your Bibles, it'd be worth just seeing how strongly emphasized this is, and then we'll make a few comments. Starting at the beginning, verses 1 to 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. There's the first time it's mentioned. Credited. He was gifted with righteousness through faith. All right, let's look at the next two verses. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, this faith is credited as righteousness. Second time. Wow. Faith causes us to be credited with righteousness. Look at verse 6. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. That's three times now. You pick up what's going on here. When you see repetition like this, there's one thing you should realize. This point being made is really important. In fact, I would say to you that what's being declared in Romans 4 is like the Mount Everest of biblical truth in regard to how we get right with God. This is so important. Anyway, it doesn't stop there. Let's look at verse 9. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say, here it is again, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Verses 21 and 22. Let's go over to that. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. And then one more time in verses 23 and 24. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's phenomenal when I look at this passage how often this is mentioned. And that's because God wants us to understand so clearly that this most important thing that we all need, not happiness, not a good bank account, but righteousness before God, that is to say, being in a right state with God, being no longer under condemnation, no longer in trouble with God, no longer facing eternity in hell and facing the judgment of God, but being absolutely right with God, this thing we so desperately need, this great need we have, comes by faith. It does not come by being religious. It does not come by doing right living. It does not come by rigorously obeying the law of God. It comes by faith, faith in God. That's what our father Abraham experienced. And if we are truly his descendants, then we have come to experience it also, except the only addition is that we now believe in not only God, but in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who God has revealed to us. You know, as I think about this passage, I know most of you will know this, but I tell you what, our world doesn't. How sad it is that our world, in a majority sense, still thinks that if there is a God, we have right standing with God by doing all sorts of things. How many things are there? You know, got to do a pilgrimage. You know, you've got to live a good life. You've got to do more good things than bad things. It's not the way. God has told us very clearly that that's not the way to be right with me. The Apostle Paul even speaks about the Jewish man who has circumcision, a religious ritual, and has the law of God. And even the Jewish man will not make it into heaven, and he's not declared righteous before God by all that stuff. Because why is that? Because he's undone his righteousness by his sins. He's sinned against God and can't be declared righteous by religious ritual or living a good life or following God's commandments. But this is what God's done in his grace, in his amazing love, the great Father of all. He has chosen to gift us with righteousness if we believe in him and if we believe in his son Jesus. That's it. That's a most important truth. This is a truth that you need to know for yourself, and you need to declare boldly to the people around you who don't get it. Let me read to you Romans 4, 13 to 16, where in the middle part of Romans 4, this really comes out strongly. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, that's the Jews, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. Praise be to God that he has chosen in his grace, both to Jews and to Gentiles, to all people everywhere. He has chosen to gift us with righteousness if we would have faith in our God and faith in what he has done for us through his son. I am so glad about that, because I'd be working all my life trying to get there and not get there. I'm guaranteed by God I won't get there that way. But God has been pleased to give us a righteousness that we haven't earned or deserved. And we will be standing before the throne one day simply because God helped me. And I also put my faith and confidence and trust in Jesus and in what God has done for us through Jesus. What a day it will be before the throne one day. But I want to say to you all this morning, as I think about God our Father, and as I think about another Father, another earthly Father, Abraham, are we characterized by our Father Abraham? Are we people of faith? And are we people who have received this righteousness as a gift through faith? And I also want to just say a few closing things, especially on Father's Day. As I think of the life of Abraham, I can't help but see fantastic examples that he set for us. Three things I just want to briefly mention. He had faith in God. He was a great example to us all what it looked like to have faith in God. And I want to just say to any of us who are fathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers, are we like a good father to our children? Are we a person who also displays faith? What do our children see in us? What do our grandchildren see in us? Do they see in us that we are a man of faith? Do they see us praying? When there's a crisis, do they see us calling the family together to pray? Do they see us praying each day as we have family devotions? Because faith and prayer go together. Not only that, Abraham was such a wonderful example in a man who pursued God. In the book of James chapter 2, verse 23, he was called the friend of God. And as I think about that, what do my children see in me? What do we set before our own children? Do they see that here is Dad and he is a friend of God? I know it. I can tell in the way that he lives his life. Or what about this? Do we commend to our children and commend even to our wife that the most important thing in life is to befriend God, to know him? Does it ooze out of our life? It seemed to with Abraham. He was a wonderful example of how we are to be. And not only that, in Genesis chapter 18, I read of a very special time when God speaks to Abraham. God declares to Abraham something that was hidden in his heart. And why did he do that? Because he had great respect for Abraham, because Abraham was faithful in forwarding on to others who God is and God's wondrous ways. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 18. And I think, wow, what another great example. He forwarded on to others, to his children and his descendants, who the great God is and what his wondrous ways are. What about me? Do I do that? Do we teach our children? Do we encourage our children to know the scriptures, to know who God is, to know God's good ways and walk in them? Abraham is a great father who gave a great example to us all. He's not perfect. Only God our Father in heaven is perfect. But he was a great father who gave a great example. Yes, he walked by faith. He was a man who received righteousness, but he was also the friend of God and he forwarded on to others our magnificent God and how wonderful are his ways. If you're a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather today, that's what you should be doing too. We need fathers to arise. We need good examples of what it means to walk by faith. I challenge us all to be like that. We have people above us, parents. We have people beneath us. We have peers around us. And we're meant to be an example, just as Paul picks on Abraham as a great example in Romans 4. May there be great examples amongst us as to how it should be, knowing God and walking with him and knowing this glorious righteousness that comes to us through faith. Righty-o, well, we're now going to sing a hymn. I thought we'd pull this one out. It's called Faith of Our Fathers, and it is a hymn that speaks about the faith of our fathers and how we ought to desire to be like them. Let's stand and sing together this hymn. Dear Father, we thank you for how when we come to have faith in you, It's the most beautiful thing of all to have faith in you, to have confidence and trust in who you are and how good you are and the rich blessings that come into our life through you. We thank you for how we are to put our faith in not only who you are, but the great God you are and what you have done for us through Jesus. We believe and are to have faith in how through Jesus you have purchased our soul, that you have paid for our sins, that we have been brought into your great family. And we thank you that we are to have absolute faith in your Son Jesus, who secures our salvation, who is yea and amen to all your promises, and who shall be coming back soon. Our Father, we are conscious in your word that we live in days where faith is so rare. May faith arise in all our hearts. May faith be strong in us. And may we have a radiant faith that will enable others to have this faith also. We thank you again for this most wonderful, gracious act of you, that when we have faith in you and your Son, you declare us righteous, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you that we are made right with you through faith. We praise your glorious name. May we go from this place singing and rejoicing in that wonderful truth. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.